You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're entering towards the tail end of the year. Yet, there are still much, much more companies to explore, to investigate, to learn more about. In August this year, Malaysia-based insurtech firm Visua.life has secured a 12 million ringgit investment from Ace Market Listed Revenue Group through its wholly owned subsidiary company called Revenue Harvest. This is, of course, approved by Bank Negara Malaysia. And, of course, following this, Bank Negara has approved for them to participate in its fintech sandbox. The partnership between Visua.life and Revenue Group enables the company to access the payment ecosystem and solutions to further strengthen its offerings to Malaysians. Additionally, the firm said in a statement that the approval from Bank Negara indicates the readiness to be commercially tested in the Malaysian market as a what they call lifestyle digital insurer. And of course, following this, Visua.life has announced the launch of its latest products, FlexiFit and EasyPA, again approved by Bank Negara. There's a lot to explore here and a lot to unpack. Joining us in this show is Eddie Wong, the co-founder and CEO of Visua.life. Eddie, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm good, Ibrahim. Thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure and it's also a privilege to be on your stage. It's a very renowned platform for us to learn about new exciting businesses. Thanks for having me.
But I'm just the guy who asked the question, Eddie. You guys are the one that is doing the business. I want to learn more about Visua.life. I want to learn more about what you guys are offering. And most importantly, what do you mean by being a lifestyle insurer, Eddie?
All right. Yes. You know, thanks for the introduction. We are the first on-demand lifestyle digital insurer being approved under the Bank Negara FinTech Regulatory Sandbox. Right. We officially launched our business in way back in 2018. But fast forward to where we are now, we've got our first stage approval under the Regulatory Sandbox in 2019 March, where, you know, we have gone through a very rigorous process by Bank Negara to assess our eligibility. And we've gone through a very thorough assessment by all the various departments by the bank and to get our approval. And fast forward to now in 2021, we got our stage two approval. Essentially, what it means is that we are allowed to commercialize our on-demand lifestyle digital insurer model to the market, right? And what do we mean by on-demand lifestyle is that we design products or insurance product that wraps around individual modern lifestyle based on the activities that they engage in. So you don't have to buy insurance for long term. You can pay per use, buy it when as and when you need it, and then you can turn it on and turn it off. Right. So that's essentially what we do. Currently, we offer our products to our B2C market. Eventually, we will look into how do we partner with B2B2C and B2B. Now, of course, you know, throughout the years that we have dealt with Bank Negara, we'd like to thank Bank Negara for the immense support in guiding us through this, you know, process of assessment by Bank Negara to where we are today so that we can commercially test the product.
Yeah, the item here that I want to touch upon is on what they call so-called micro insurance. Would you call yourself that or it's something else?
I would say that, yes, you know, in many ways, we are, you know, a very micro nano-sized kind of protection. We basically, you know, break the traditional products from a yearly engagement or long tail term life and all this into a very bite-sized, you know, per hour or per day or per week kind of a protections, you know. And that's the unique innovative proposition or novelty that we bring to the market and how we convince Bank Negara that this is a new thing that we should be positively disrupting the market.
Speaking about Bank Negara, the approval that came in August this year was to allow for you to access Revenue Group's B2B2C payment ecosystem and solutions. And you also are able to actually try out the financial sandbox or fintech sandbox offering. How has that come along until now?
Well, essentially, that has actually, you know, come along very well. You know, of course, with the investment from Revenue Group, that has given us the seed capital for us to meet the risk-based capital requirement as set forth by Bank Negara to test some of our innovative product proposition to the market. And then, as you mentioned earlier, The first product that we had is called FlexiFit, which is an on-demand sports PA where we break the PA into a pay-per-use kind of a concept. We break it down to 6 hours, 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days kind of a protections. That has gotten us a lot of tractions. Since we launched in August, we have launched about 4 different events partnering with event organizers on charity virtual run. We have got more than 1,000 over participants registering into our platform and buying our products through an embedded insurance model.
The item also that I want to touch upon is on being an outdoor activity kind of event because of the MCO. You don't see normally people running in groups, for instance. Of course, things would change and I would assume 2022 would be a little bit better. But, turning this question or flipping this question right on its head, do you feel that that was actually a blessing in disguise? You can actually test out your product in 2021, knowing that while this product was intended for mass events, you can actually test out in small circle of users first.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, Ibrahim. I think initially when we went through the stage one approval, the idea is for us to go through, you know, at least 6 to 9 months kind of assessment by the bank, and then for us to launch our product, you know, way back in 2019. And it's just unfortunately that we were, you know, a whole country, the whole world's met with this pandemic, you know. By the time we were, when the bank was about to give us the approval for stage two, you know, the MCO start, so we can't do anything. So I think that was a pivotal moment, whether we continue with our proposition with Bannergar as a digital insurer or we do something else. But the good thing with Bannergar is that, you know, they are very engaging. They're very open to discuss with us about how do we pivot. And we pivoted into what we call virtual run. You know, how do we protect people in virtual run? And true enough, during this pandemic, yeah, there's limited activities that we can do outdoors. But during the CMCO period last year, there is a small window of opportunities that allow people to actually do a bit of activities outdoor. And then we came up with the idea about virtual runs together with some of the events organizers, where we can actually test the product on a smaller group basis so that it works. And with that idea, I think, you know, when Bannergar gave us the final green light this year to launch the product, you know, it's taken off quite smoothly, I would say, since August. As I mentioned earlier, more than 1,000 over participants registering and buy our products through the events, and it's making good momentum.
All right, Eddie, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss at length their latest offering, which is, of course, the FlexiFit and EasyPA products. We'll be right back after these messages. You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're looking at the potential of InsurTech in Malaysia. One such company is Visure Life. They've just recently launched the FlexiFit and EasyPA products. Joining us is, of course, Eddie Wong, the co-founder and CEO of the company. Eddie, let's talk a little bit more about the products per se. Is this the first of many other products that you're going to be rolling out in this space? Is micro-insurance in the wraparound of InsurTech going to be the big thing for 2022? Not just for Visure.life, but generally speaking, for insurance as in general for Malaysia?
Yes, I think we have shared with Bannergar, you know, about our whole product series, how we want to launch a series of on-demand products, protections for the market to positively disrupt the market, to bring about a new novelty to how insurance should be in the future. We firmly believe that insurance should be something that wraps around modern lifestyle. And we're going to do this through a mobile phone as penetration of internet and mobile users is getting higher and higher. So we want to make insurance a lot more seamless through this kind of a platform. And in terms of our product offerings, yeah, our flagship is on on-demand product protection product. And that rides along the concept of pay-per-use. As you can see that there are quite a lot of pay-per-use kind of product propositions being launched by other incumbent insurers, like in the motor insurance segment. But our design of our on-demand pay-per-use is more into the individual lifestyle instead of just mortal, right? So the first product that we had is just FlexiFit. Eventually, we will actually go into other areas within your lifestyle. For instance, your mobility, your, you know, the place that you work, the place that you stay, and your own health and medical and stuff like that. So we believe that insurance should be, you know, that kind of a model moving forward in future.
The item that I want to explore, of course, is that Visual.life is banking a lot on pay-per-use products. You believe that this is going to disrupt the insurance landscape, that's on-demand kind of products. Are you also trying to look at long-term products, the kind of items that all the other insurance players are also doing? Or is this going to be solely the item that you're going to be focusing on in the near future?
I would say that it's going to be a mix, Ibrahim. I think, as we all know, there are more than 20, more than 10 or 15 different insurance companies already in the market, as they're very, very mature. I would say those are the red ocean. There are very traditional products out there. And what we intend to do is that to bring about a whole new perspective of insurance to the market, right? And we believe that on-demand pay-per-use kind of a model of insurance will be one of our long-term strategy. But the other, you know, second longer-term strategy is for us to go into curated products with within a B2B2C kind of a segment. How do you work with larger organizations? Like, for instance, within the revenue group, how do we leverage into their ecosystem, their partners, to design product that's suitable within that kind of ecosystem partnership? So B2B2C is another area that we will be going into. And in any case, our design of products, you know, will be along the line about how do we continue to positively curate innovative products offering to the market. On-demand is one of it, B2B2C. And we will be looking into a subscription-based insurance model in future, right? And the next thing that we're going to do is to, you know, go into a very unique go-to-market strategy. We don't just come up with the product and make it available on a platform and then offer it to the market. We want to go into a very embedded insurance model with the B2B2C partners. Right. So those are the few areas that we will be going into, and that will be part of our longer term strategy.
Yeah, I want to touch more about that subscription possibility of a product. That would definitely move the needle in terms of this, you know, red ocean insurance landscape that you painted. Right now, it's not that easy getting a subscription product when it comes to insurance. Of course, we also look at on-demand, which is, I wouldn't say diametrically opposed, but it's just something different that you can offer to the market. Where do you feel it's important for you to think about when you want to roll out a product like the subscription? And, you know, I understand that the product is not out yet, and I don't want you to let your, you know, guard down in terms of your competitors listening into our conversation. But generally speaking, you know, where do you feel the areas of interest would be like at?
I think for us to really get into a subscription-based insurance model, it needs to be a combination of multiple things. And at first, you know, you need to get enough masses of customers within your customer database where you can have enough data for you to analyze whether some of those segment of your customers will be suitable for a subscription-based insurance. I mean, our vision of a subscription-based insurance would be, like, let's say, for instance, Eddie. Eddie, you know, has their medical and health, has a PA, has a, you know, a motor, has, you know, home insurance and stuff like that. So within a web of insurance product within that Eddie has, that Eddie is paying about nearly, let's say, a thousand ringgit per month. How do we enable Eddie's risk portfolio to hedge, you know, at the right time based on Eddie's lifestyles and activities throughout the year, right? You know, and then it need to be assisted by certain parametrics or data that we can harvest from the market, and based on our own unique AI that we can actually develop to advise Eddie to hedge certain risk portfolio depending on their activities throughout the whole year. So month number one, Eddie could be paying 900 ringgit, and then month number two, Eddie could be paying 800 ringgit. Month number three, Eddie could be paying about 1,001. So it will fluctuate, but at the end of the year, instead of Eddie paying 12,000, he could be paying about 8,000 for his insurance. So that's the concept that we had, you know, in terms of subscription-based insurance, where we are also open to collaborate with incumbent insurers to plug in the right products to make it a lot more competitive, right? So that, you know, it will be a combination of our own products, you know, market player products, and then through our own AI platform that actually, you know, provide risk advisory to individual customers as to how do they go about risk hedging their risk portfolio throughout the year.
Speaking about collaborating with other partners, you are indeed striking a lot of partnerships with the incumbents. For instance, your EasyPA is offered in partnership with AXA Affin General Insurance Berhad. The PA insurance policy does provide that, you know, 24-hour protection. A quick check on your mobile application. You can buy the policy at below 10 ringgit for a coverage of 5,000 in case of accidental death or permanent disability. Those are the kind of things that, you know, really would move the needle. Talk to us through your partnerships with AXA Affin, Allianz, Etica, MCIS, and I don't know who else you guys are partnering with. What is the relationship like right now? Are you guys operating at, you know, the kind of a deep kind of relationship, or it's more of a frenemy, you're trying to make things work for everyone right now?
Yeah, you know, I would say that this is the best time for the insurtech to come into this industry, because you know, I always say that we are in the best time, the romance of the three kingdoms, you know, the largest kingdom being the regulator, the second largest being the incumbent insurer, the smallest one being the insurtech and digital insurer layers. In our model, you know, first of all, we have our own flagship product, you know, our own on-demand product series, which is, you know, being evaluated, approved by Benegra. We'll be launching our product by phases. The other part of VSure is that, you know, we are also, you know, an insurtech that collaborate with incumbent insurers. The thing is that, you know, we are not an aggregator. We don't just actually do price aggregation of other products, other insurance products out there, but we carefully partner with incumbent insurer on a very specific curated product that fits into our VSure on, you know, lifestyle protection model, right? So we work with AXA Life on medical and health, you know, term life and other products, cancer care. We also work with AXA on curated products with them, the AXA GI. We work with Allianz on the travel, on the motor insurance. We also work with Etica on motor insurance. We also work with MCIS Life on other term life or whole life kind of products. So those are the things that, you know, we have the flexibility of keep tapping on existing incumbent insurance product for us to add on to our, you know, lifestyle protection within our platform, whilst waiting for our own on-demand product series to start maturing as we go along the process with Benegara.
Fantastic. One more break, Eddie, before we conclude our conversation with VSure.life. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Notepad. I have with me Eddie Wong, co-founder and CEO of VSure.life, an insurtech company here in Malaysia. Eddie, we want to take a quick stock take on what has happened in Malaysia over the past 2 years. The focus on attention on health has never been greater. Protection, the conversation of extending what you can in terms of insurance, in terms of investment, in terms of how we look at, you know, or evaluate how we conduct our finances and health is just great right now. Do you feel that the insurance sector, being a sector where, you know, margins are actually quite thin, it's quite difficult for you to get you guys to navigate around, but at the same time, you know, there is a inherent want from the market right now to get better protection. How do you marry these kind of conflicting feelings and wants from the market? Do you feel that you guys have to do something different, not just VSure.life, but the insurance sector per se?
Yeah. I generally feel that over the last 18 months, where all of us are, you know, succumbed to this pandemic, has unfortunately, you know, it has bring a lot of, you know, sadness, or, you know, very unprecedented kind of sadness that we have to go through, right? But generally in the insurance industry, I felt that I think the life insurance side tends to have actually get an upper hand because the pandemic has actually created some kind of fear among the public, and then the need for the public or the markets to really get into certain specific insurance that at least give them some assurance or comfort towards the pandemic. You know, that is, you know, that kind of product would definitely be, you know, very much in demand at the moment. Whereas the general insurance kind of business is tend to have mellowed down a little bit. It's like people start to question about why do I need to pay my car insurance because my car has not been moving for the last 1 year. Right. So those are the, you know, distinctive difference in terms of the market demand. I see it that way, that the life insurance side tends to have a higher uptake than compared to the general side. Whereas in the overall market, you know, for InsurTech, and I think he has presented a huge opportunities for InsurTech to start disrupting and innovating, right? First of all, you know, people are more open to sharing of information and data. And second of all is that, you know, there is this unprecedented, you know, risk that we are facing towards, you know, the environment that we live in, the situation that we're in this pandemic, you know, kind of like open up the whole, you know, opportunities for customers and consumers to be looking for things that is more relevant to their lifestyle and how we can actually help them, right? So it opens up a lot of opportunities for InsurTech, you know, like for instance, Visual like us, you know, for us to tap on those opportunities to see how we can curate the right products for the market. And I can see that, you know, the bigger incumbents insurers are also taking the advantage, like for instance, coming up with some COVID-related products, you know, post-vaccination protection products and stuff like that. So you can see a lot of those emerging. That's the, you know, the customer touch point, you know, in terms of, you know, how do we offer these marketings through our digital distribution side. Whereas I also see a lot of opportunities within the, you know, the data management, the infrastructure and stuff like that, you know, that emerges over the last couple of years for InsurTech to actually go into, right? So if you ask me, that's my view that the life insurance side will get a better, market penetration given now the fear factor is there. Whereas the GI side, I think we have to really be a lot more innovative. And I will think that, you know, Visual playing in the on-demand pay-per-use space, you know, will actually give us a lot more advantage for us to come up with more product that's more market relevant, given the current situation.
Because of this, Eddie, my final question to you is, you were describing the 12 million ringgit that you got in August as seed funding. Do you feel that the time is right for you to go to the market and source for new funding from, you know, VCs or other investors? Now is the time for you to, you know, level up in terms of your firepower, in terms of capital?
Yeah, I mean, this is a right timing because we you're right. You know, we are actually talking to quite a lot of potential investor at the moment. I think the approval from Vanguard has given us a lot of tractions and a lot of confidence as well into Visual. So that has created a lot of opportunities for us to explore potential investors that can actually help us to scale. And more importantly, helping us to get into the right financial capital requirement when we get ready for graduation from the sandbox by next year. So, yep. You know, we are actually working with quite a number of potential investors, either VCs or family office or private equity investors. So we are pretty active in this space at the moment.
Eddie, I wish you all the best, and I wish the family at Visual.life all the best. But we have to draw this conversation to a close. That was Eddie Wong, co-founder and CEO of Visual.life. That's all that we have for you today. Get the latest news and updates on COVID-19, COVID-19 vaccines from AstroAwani.com and the AstroAwani app. My name is Ibrahim Sani. You've been watching Notepad. Catch you in the next one.